radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 23. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. I want to show you the witness of the precision with which God acts even in these times. I don't know if we appreciate fully the parabolic way God deals with us. He doesn't always just tell us. He kind of leads us along, and we discover, and it's fun, and it's thrilling, really, sometimes. Well, it went dark when he was on the cross, because even God himself was moving in and saying, nobody's going to be looking at this too close anymore, because this is about to get ugly. It wasn't ugly before. No, it's going to get ugly. Not only is it going to get ugly, but my son is going to go through something none of you will ever be able to plumb the truth of. You're not going to know, understand, but listen, I'm turning the lights out now. It goes dark. The Bible said there was a darkness over all the earth till the ninth hour. Now, when I think of this darkness, I don't know how dark it was. But I am reminded of that place in the Bible where it tells us in the plagues of Egypt. It was so dark in Egypt, when God turned the lights out, people couldn't move around. They just stayed seated wherever they were. But the reality for us is, God turned the lights down here in a very deliberate way. And the Bible says in verse 45, and the sun was even darkened. And the Bible says, and the veil of the temple was rent. Do you know the significance of renting the temple's veil? This thing was a very thick, hefty piece of material. This is not going to happen just because it got yanked on. This is God himself from the top down ripping it and saying, I'm done with this. The way is open. Now the Bible tells us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time. You need Jesus, and you need to know you can go directly to him. And people who teach you go to Mary or go through some statue or go through some ritual. No, the Bible says there's one mediator between God and man. It's the man, Christ Jesus. The Bible says he is our advocate. We're to come boldly to that throne. And if we aren't going there, somebody's taught us wrong. We need to go back and read the Bible. The Bible says he rent the veil from top to bottom. It's told to us in the other Gospels. And the Bible says it was rent in the midst. And Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now that when the centurion saw this, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. Guys, listen, it's another witness. Who's Jesus? He's a just man. He's a righteous man. He's a forgiving man. He's a man like us. Which is important to ponder, because you need to know he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, but took upon himself the form of a servant. And being found in likeness of a man, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus laid aside his prerogatives of deity, never reached into them for himself. He trusted the Father to take care of everything he needed. And when he was lean in chapter 22 in the garden and he's bleeding those great drops of blood, the Bible says God sent forth an angel to strengthen him. Jesus didn't draw down on his prerogatives. He was strengthened by an angel because he came as a man. He lived a perfect life as a man. He satisfied the law as a man, because wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, even so death came upon all men because all have sinned. But the Bible tells us further that Jesus came as second Adam, and he brings forth righteousness to all who will believe in him. The Bible says in verse 48, all the people that came together to that sight. Look at that sight. Circle it. Sight. People see it. They're witnesses. Beholding the things that were done, smote their breasts and returned. Now, some of those people probably smote their breasts because it really hurt. Some of them did it like you see in a movie where an Italian woman will take and salt and spit and throw over her shoulder, things that they do, people do. Some people just do things. They're ritualistic or they're superstitious. But many of these people see what was really going on there because God had a witness. There's 120 people in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, 50 days later. And what we're seeing here is they smote their breasts. Why? Because that meant they broke their heart. They broke their heart what they saw. The Bible says, and all his acquaintance, this is talking about his companions primarily, and the women that followed him from Galilee, they stood afar off, maintaining Jesus' dignity and his humiliation. The Bible says, and behold, there was a man named Joseph. Now, I don't know why the Lord doesn't leave us hanging here and just say, just meditate on this, but this is where the passage takes us, because there's another witness in the room. And this man is Joseph. The Bible says he was a good man and a just man. The word just is the chaos. It means righteous man. You can only be righteous if you know Jesus. You can't be righteous just by doing good things. Righteousness comes by imputation. It doesn't come by what we do in our own work. The Bible says there was a man named Joseph. With this we know in verse 51, Arimathea is the city. So he's Joseph of Arimathea. And the Bible says the same had not consented to the counsel and the deeds that they were doing. So here's the one righteous guy in the room. He has faith. He believes what Jesus has been teaching. We know that he is a companion and friend of Nicodemus from the other Gospels. But right here, the Bible says this man, verse 52, went in and begged Pilate for the body of Jesus. And he took it down. He wrapped it in linen and he laid it in a sepulcher. Why isn't Nicodemus mentioned? Because Joseph is a righteous man. We already meet Nicodemus in John's Gospel is coming and getting some questions answered. And he gets one of those really powerful verses, right? The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So what we find is that Nicodemus had his high mark right there. And later we find that he's in the room caring about Jesus. But here we're just told about Joseph. Joseph is our witness that God's going to leave us with here. And it's a good one as well. The Bible says that he took down the body of Jesus, he wrapped it in linen, and he laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never a man had been laid before. This was his own tomb. The Bible tells us in Isaiah, it says he made his death with the malefactors and his grave with the rich. Jesus is just knocking it down. What I told you is the precision. God didn't miss anything. He's telling us stuff through parable, the rending of the veil, things like that. But he's telling us things in reality. And what we're seeing here is it says that the women also were there and they followed Joseph and they were beholding. And this is what women do. They want to make sure it's done right. And many times men don't know how to do things, you know, all proper. I mean, he's wrapping a body, he's preparing. These kind of things usually would fall to the women. But Joseph loved him. Joseph was up close. Joseph was doing the best he could. And it might not have been great because they needed to come back on the day of his resurrection to fix it right. But still, he did a pretty good job. I think all the women would say, that's pretty good. We'll get back to that. But this is showing us that there were people leaning in, people seeing, people understanding, witnessing. They see. And the Bible says they followed him and they beheld the sepulcher and how the body was laid. And they returned and they prepared spices and ointments and look, rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Interesting word to throw in there because I don't think anybody was feeling restful, but there it is. It's right there in front of us. The word rest is put right there in front of us. It means they were keeping still. They were refraining from labor. And even that's a parable, if you will, because the Bible tells us that we enter into a rest when we come to Jesus. Now, as I conclude, I want you to know we've seen the witness of power. We've seen the witness of provision, those people carrying his cross, that kind of stuff. We saw the witness of providence, and we've seen the witness of precision, how God has done everything. But now we're seeing the witness of posterity. You see, when this is all said and done, the final amen's had, and you get to the resurrection day, what we're going to have is people who aren't really expecting it. Nobody really, really got it. Nobody came to that day thinking he's going to be raising today. They should have been. He told them, third day I'm going to rise, tear down this temple. Third day I'm going to rise. Listen, he's coming again. He's coming again. Jesus is coming again. We ought to be looking for him. That's what he said. That's what he said. I prayed just this past week. I said, Lord Jesus, please let me and Linda be here when you come. Help us to live to that point. If it's going to be a week, if it's going to be a year, if it's going to be 5, 10 years, I don't know. But help us, Lord. We want to see that situation. We want to see it. Do you want to see it? We need to anticipate it because we know we're told it's going to happen. And these people did the best they could. Man, the light was hard for them to get their minds around. But the Bible tells us this man and these women, they all had something going on in their minds that they were anticipating. And what I want you to see as we close is that the Bible says and it was a Sabbath. They saw where he was and they went home and they rested. They ceased from everything. They stood still in obedience, just doing what they could. Just doing what they could. While we occupy till he comes, we just do what we can. Just go out and minister to somebody, care for somebody, love on somebody. Do what we can. But I want you to know that when Jesus rose from the dead and all of the apostles began to congeal all the things that they've been told, and Paul was interjected into the midst, and everybody's sharing their brains, and it's like, oh yeah, do you remember? Oh yeah, did you see? Did you see what he did right there? We didn't even see it, but there it is. He told us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. And that's the word Sabbathism. It's the only place that word ever appears anywhere. This is a coined word by the writer. A Sabbathism. It's like an immersion into the Sabbath. You want to know about the Ten Commandments? Jesus fulfilled them all. And we get that imputed to us. We don't keep the Sabbath because we're always having a Sabbath. Every day is a Sabbath. The Bible says, it remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest hath also ceased from his own works, even as God did from his. I love that verse. I wondered about that. I didn't let it stumble me, but I'm like, well, where's the Sabbath? I mean, we don't have that when we're reiterated today because Jesus rose on the first day. We commemorate the resurrection because redemption eclipses creation. And then I see passages and I saw them. They said, listen, this is a sign, the Sabbath thing. It's a sign between me and you, Israel. So yeah, they can have that. But I got redemption. Mine eclipses the other. But what happens is when I'm reading my Bible and I'm digging in, I find out, lo and behold, I'm having the Sabbath every day. Because I'm not doing anything on my own works and depending on it. I've ceased from my works. I'm looking to Jesus. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He's the end of the law for righteousness unto everyone that believes. And that's in Romans chapter 10. He's the end of the law for righteousness. You don't go to the law for righteousness. We establish the law, but we're not subjected to the law because Jesus satisfied the law. And now listen to me. We are His witnesses. And that's what I want you to know. You probably heard the song, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sing it with me. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it makes me wanna tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Three verses. When they laid him in the tomb, when he raised up from the grave, those verses are saying this to you, believer, if you've never put it together. Yes, you weren't there physically, but if he died for you, you were there. If he was buried for you, you were there. If he rose from the dead for you, you were there. Because we are the ones He died for. He gave Himself for us. He gave Himself over our sin. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And we are witnesses. And this world's getting goofy right now. And we need to be up on our game witnessing for Him. Write a note. Write a card. Send a tract. Talk to somebody when you see him dejected. Look for the mercy of God in your life. There are people around you that God would see to it that they're around you. Don't be all about argumentation, politics, and all that in your day-to-day. Go into your world with Jesus and give them the Savior. Because even if you can use certain things as a platform, don't let that be the big deal in your life. Don't let them be you so excited about this that you're not excited about Jesus. Because He rises again from the dead. And we know it because we have the Word of God that has been given to us so that we can vicariously witness exactly what the people saw that were there. Would you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. We hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.